and gas companies are headed for big losses as the world moves towards a lower carbon footprint. That's at least the conclusion from a new study out from financial think tank Carbon Tracker. Their annual risk report on oil and gas says trillions of dollars in assets could be stranded if oil majors around the world don't pivot away from fossil fuels urgently. Let's bring in Mike Coffin. He's Carbon Tracker, head of oil, gas, and mining. Mike, let's start with that headline about the amount of assets that could be stranded. The conclusion here, especially given that there's still plenty of investments these oil companies are still making despite these net zero commitments they've announced publicly. How do you get to that number, and what did you find in your report?
Yeah, thank you. So what we do is we model global oil and gas supply. So we take demand pathways. So we look at a low carbon scenario, which is the IEA sustainable development scenario, 1.65 degree scenario. And we look at the space for new oil and gas products under that scenario. We then compare that to business as usual, so a 2.7 degree scenario. And we look at the business as usual planning of the oil companies. So they're continuing to sanction projects that just do not fit in a low carbon world. We find that ultimately the delta between those two sets of projects amounts to over $1 trillion of capex over the next decade. And so we see this is a staggering amount of continued investment, as you say, that ultimately risks taking the world beyond climate limits and also create or potentially risk a lot of value for investors if these assets become stranded.
When you talk about these companies still investing in oil and gas exploration, I mean, these are the same companies that have made the public announcement of being net zero and sort of going towards that Paris Climate Agreement goal by 2050. I mean, what are some of the companies that stand out? Do you think that are especially what they're doing is at odds with what they've publicly announced?
Yeah, and I think when we talk about net zero, what's really important is we talk about not only to get to net zero emissions, but it's crucial how we get there. So what's the pathway? What's the aggregate emissions between now and then? Because crucially, it's the pathway and those aggregate emissions that determine the warming outcome. So the IEA was very clear in May, so the International Energy Agency in May, to get to 1.5 degrees, no new projects. So if companies are continuing to sanction projects, they're and new projects, they're clearly not aligned with that 1.5 degree scenario, which is the aim of the Paris Agreement. Separately on net zero, some of the other things that are really critical are that company targets have fulfill three hallmarks. They include end-use emissions, they have an absolute basis to them, and they include the full equity share. So if you look at a company like ConocoPhillips, it has a net zero scenario, but it only covers operational emissions, which is 15% of the emissions that result from the extraction and use of a barrel of oil. The 85% of emissions that are created when used in a car just are not included within those targets.
Yeah, as you mentioned, that 1.5 degree Celsius target, there are projects in there that don't even seem compatible with a 1.65 degree Celsius target. And obviously, the more the higher we see temperatures rise, the more impact we would expect to see in a lot of these, environmental disasters. But when you look at that, I wonder if maybe they're just more optimistic about maybe carbon capture technology really taking off. We've had Climeworks on the show before talking about maybe building that technology up. I mean, does your analysis, your model maybe look at that side at all, or is that not factored in here?
So, I mean, just to say, so what we do is we take the demand scenarios from the International Energy Agency, as I say, that 1.65 degree scenario, the 2.7 business as usual scenario. And all of these scenarios have a degree of carbon capture and utilization and or storage already within those scenarios. And we would say in most cases, those are very optimistic versus the track record of carbon capture and storage. It's been touted for decades, but the reality is very few operational projects, very low numbers of CO2 actually captured and permanently stored. And most projects to date have been for enhanced oil recovery, which may actually have a negative impact on the climate if you get more oil out that's burnt than the CO2 that was put in. So we see carbon capture or relying on carbon capture and storage as really a very, very risky strategy, both for companies, but also for the world to achieve climate goals. Far better to have an orderly transition away from fossil fuels starting now to protect both the planet and investors' interests.
Mike, from an investor standpoint, there is the question of what these companies need to do to accelerate the transition and get to that goal that you've pointed to by 2050, at least for now. Is it Zach mentioned carbon capture. That seems to be the path that a lot of these oil majors have taken, at least in the immediate future. What about investments in renewables? And to what extent would that reverse those declines we just highlighted from the likes of ConocoPhillips?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say in the report, we highlight that under that 1.5 degree scenario, the implications of no new projects on production, so some companies, particularly, say, ConocoPhillips, who are heavily invested in shale within their portfolio, they will see faster declines, ultimately falling revenues and cash flows. In terms of investments into renewables, I mean, that is certainly one option for companies to transition. But the key is that companies move away from a reliance on oil and gas. And that's true both for the upstream companies themselves, but for everyone who has a stake in the oil and gas value chain. So it's moving away from oil and gas. Whether that cash is returned to shareholders as part of an orderly wind down of the business or is invested into new businesses is ultimately up for shareholders and management to decide. The crucial thing is reducing exposure to oil and gas. And of course, you could invest in renewables or you could invest in almost anything else. The key thing is not continuing to invest in an industry that ultimately cannot continue and is not sustainable in a low carbon world.
Mike Coffin, carbon tracker, head of oil, gas and mining. It's good to talk to you today. Really interesting report. Appreciate the time.